Hello, welcome. It's Monday, March 6th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief, with your fast and focused update on the stories shaping the Middle East. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Coming up, a great conversation with the former IDF spokesman and FDD senior fellow, Jonathan Conricus. But first, here are your headlines. President Trump has given Iran an extra 24 hours to open the Straits of Hormuz before he, quote, unleashes hell and begins striking power plants and infrastructure. The deadline was set to expire Monday night Eastern Time, but has now been moved to Tuesday. Tehran has rejected a 45-day ceasefire plan put forward by Pakistan. Iran says it will not agree to any temporary ceasefire in exchange for opening the straits. Iran fired a major barrage of ballistic missiles at Israel overnight and early this morning. 15 different sites were impacted. The attacks caused multiple casualties and severe damage to buildings. Among those hurt, a 90-year-old woman who collapsed on her way to the shelter. And in Haifa, as the bodies of two people were recovered from the rubble of a seven-story apartment building that sustained a direct hit, rescue teams are searching for another two people who are still missing. Iran has fired more than 500 ballistic missiles at Israel, including many carrying cluster bomb warheads. There are reports that the head of intelligence for Iran's IRGC has been killed in an airstrike. This, according to Iranian media, and it comes as the IDF confirms it's completed a major overnight operation targeting regime infrastructure and military command centers in Tehran. At least 25 regime personnel have reportedly been killed. These strikes, all part of a broader campaign to neutralize the leadership of the IRGC. Tehran's Sharif University of Technology was hit. This is a site long associated with the regime's advanced weapons development and its nuclear-related research. The United Arab Emirates has warned against a bad deal with Iran. Senior official Anwar Gargash said that any agreement must guarantee free passage through the Strait of Hormuz and rein in Iran's nuclear program, its missiles and its drones. Gargash said this week that the UAE was ready to join any US-led efforts to secure shipping through the strait. In the north, a major escalation in Lebanon with the Israeli Air Force targeting Hezbollah infrastructure across the country. There were major strikes in the Bekaa Valley and in Beirut's southern suburbs. Dozens of rocket launchers and command centers were hit, significantly degrading the group's ability to sustain long-range fire into central Israel. The IDF also says that the three Hezbollah terrorists responsible for the deaths of four IDF soldiers in South Lebanon last week have been killed. Well, before we get to today's conversation, a word of thanks to our sponsor. And this episode is brought to you by Amy and Jonathan Ayres. Let's hear now today's conversation with Jonathan Conricus. Jonathan, great to have you on the first Misgav newscast. Thanks very much for being with us.
An absolute honor to be here. Good morning to you, Laura.
Good morning. Let's jump straight in then, because President Trump has done it again, hasn't he? He's rowed back on another major deadline for Iran, now giving them until Tuesday to open up the effing Strait of Hormuz, as he put it. Iran says it's not backing down. Where do you see this going? What should we be looking out for over the next 24 hours?
Yeah, I think what we're going to see is a significant escalation in the fighting. I think we're going to see the U.S. Basically CENTCOM. They'll be ordered by the president to open up the Straits of Hormuz by military force. And I think we're going to see a significant intensification of U.S. bombing of various targets in Iran, targets that so far have not been struck, and targets that are going to be very painful for the regime, and might I add, also quite detrimental for the future of the Iranian people. Why is this happening? President Trump has given the current Iranian leadership off-ramp after off-ramp, has given them lots of opportunities to de-escalate and basically end the war while they still exist. Because up until now, both Israel and the U.S. have been fighting with gloves on. And what we will see, I think, in the coming days will be at least a partial removal of those gloves and additional targets being struck. And perhaps that will remind Iran of who's in charge, who is actually going to win this war, who is the most powerful side, and who doesn't have any military say about what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are, of course, getting unconfirmed reports that the head of IRGC intelligence may have been eliminated overnight as well. But look, Jonathan, we're in the sixth week of the war now. And as we saw tragically in Haifa yesterday, Iran still has the capability to fire these very large ballistic missile salvos. Varying reports of how many of those rocket launchers have been destroyed, anything from between 50 and 75%. I mean, for how much longer will they be able to keep doing this?
I think they'll be able to do it for quite some time because they're firing in very small salvos, one or two or three each time, and they are adapting to the tactics, the missile launcher hunting tactics of the IDF and the US Air Force, and they're able to get off a few of those missiles. I think Israel is trying to conserve interceptors and to manage the stockpiles that we have, and that's part of the calculation as well. I hate to admit, but it makes sense to me that, you know, we're trying to, perhaps there's new and updated policy regarding which missiles are allowed to actually go through and explode. Obviously, one hitting Haifa was a miss, not something that was let through. But at the end of the day, if we're honest, I think as the fighting will intensify, as I said before, we'll see the Iranian system start to suffer more. When there's no electricity, it's very difficult to communicate and coordinate. When there's little access to water or bridges or roads, infrastructure, when there's no ability to export oil and gas or to transport oil and gas within the country, that'll hamper the ability of the IRGC to continue to fire missiles. But it's not something that's going to take a short while. We are now in the stage of attrition. We're in the bulk of the war, where there was the opening few days, which were overwhelmingly successful for Israel. Israel and the U.S. continue to degrade the Iranian capabilities, but we're now in a situation of a contest of stamina and the ability to sustain operations despite sustaining injuries and difficulties.
Just a word on Lebanon, if you would, Jonathan, because the IDF has been making major gains there against Hezbollah. We saw more targeted strikes overnight. But what is the long-term plan here? Will we have to see a permanent Israeli troop presence in southern Lebanon?
One would hope not. One would hope that the overall political objective of what Israel is doing will be achieved without having an extended presence on the ground. As one who served my first tour of combat duty was in Lebanon in 1998, I remember that all too well. And I also remember that the issue was mostly a lack of a clear strategy and a strategic objective into what are we doing and what are we trying to achieve. Security for northern villages and northern communities, that's excellent and a very benign goal, noble goal. But I think the aim here is to downsize and eventually disarm Hezbollah. That can only happen once the Lebanese authorities make a strategic decision to cross the Rubicon and actually engage against Hezbollah, actually engage them in their center, at their centers of gravity, and start taking away their weapons. The chances of that happening are not high because of the weak leadership of the Lebanese state and the state of affairs of the Lebanese armed forces. But what Israel is doing is pummeling Hezbollah, weakening it, and applying military pressure and providing both sticks and some carrots, but mostly sticks, in order to motivate the Lebanese government to do what they're supposed to do, what they said that they want to do, and what's definitely in their interest.
Well, before we go, Israel's Tech Edge is moving from the battlefield to the checkout line in a major vote of confidence in Israeli innovation. Carrefour Israel is rolling out 4,000 AI-powered smart shopping carts nationwide. That's one of the largest deployments of its kind anywhere in the world. So what do these carts actually do? Well, they use cameras and sensors to recognize what customers put inside. That means no queuing up at the checkout. For shoppers, it means faster trips and no waiting in line. For retailers, it means detailed data on how people shop. It's another sign that even during regional instability, global retailers are investing heavily in Israeli technology and betting that this kind of AI-driven system is the future of shopping. Well, that's it. That's your Israel in 10 from Ms. Gav. Be sure to sign up for daily updates. But from Tel Aviv, goodbye.